there's an important question, which essentially is if I asked you, or if I told you that the most important thing to do in life is, what would you fill the answer, what would you fill that sentence with? By the way, these are new desks or something? What's going on here? This is a new situation here, yeah? I feel like I'm very far away from you guys. Okay, so I'm feeling not used to that, yeah. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Laura.
Laura, you can't, maybe I should, you'll hear, will it hear me? It'll be fine. I'll be loud. Yeah. Loud. Louder. You will have something. The most important thing to do in life is blank. You will have something. Any other answer? Let's go. Come on. Yeah. Good. What? Connect with Hashem. Beautiful. Yes. Good. Not good. Three. I'm sorry.
Cool.
Wow. I'm not always here, so I'm not sure it's the most.
Whatever,
it is very important. What? Oh, okay, good. Yeah, what else? Most important thing to do in life, though, not just on your Yizayin Shabbat, not just at this hour of the day. Or really, it's 45 minutes. Yeah, 45 minutes. Yeah, it's like a real hour. Yeah, other things. What do I have to do in my life? The most important thing to do in my life is, come on,
learn Torah.
Guys, come on. You really should have answers to this question, no? So what if I told you that I have to do the first three sources of the sheet? You'd be like, yeah, that makes sense because you're giving the shiur. Good. So let's look in the first three sources of the sheet. This is three of many times this exact phrase is utilized. The sheet's there. So who wants to read the first mikar for us? Come on. Someone, let's go. Volunteers. Yes. Oh, twice in one day. Appreciate it. Yeah. What's up? Very good. So just vaguely translate the pasuk. You mind?
Okay, so Hashem will erect the holy nation as he is for you. He's doing this because you are keeping the mitzvah of Hashem and you will walk in his ways.
Walk in his ways. Yeah, and if you look at the next to Makaros, there are other iterations of the exact same terminology. And there it says also the Shmor Mitzvah. The next one is Alecha Bechol Derachav. Halachta Bedrachav is the question today. And if I told you at the very outset of today's shiur that the most important thing to do in this world is to follow footsteps, you'd be like, what are you talking about? But now I gave you a little bit of what we're talking about. Halachta Bedrachav, the most important thing you can do in this world is walking in footsteps, not just any footsteps. The type of footsteps that the story where a person went through his entire life, looks back at a video of his entire life, and says, you know, at every part of life, I see two sets of footsteps walking in parallel with each other. You've heard this before? You've heard this, yeah? And everyone's heard it? Is it a waste of me saying? I'll say it anyway. Yeah, you haven't heard it. Good. Two parallel sets of footsteps the entire life. Right? And then I'm noticing that all of the times where it was really, really difficult, when I was unfortunately going through difficult times, whether it was I was personally having difficult times or my family was having a difficult time, someone was sick, someone was looking for a parnasa, someone was looking for a shidduch, someone was looking for the death of a child, whatever the thing may be, and we all unfortunately have so many stories of this, whether it's in our personal families or our friends, and we should capture these stories so that we approach the Rabbanu Shalom and we finally have a tefillah where we really have kavana, we shouldn't be like, wait a second, I don't remember what I wanted to ask you. We should be ready with the list of cholim, we should be ready with the list of friends and family who are really having difficult times, and daven on their behalf, not on our own behalf. The Gemara points out that if you daven on behalf of someone else, your tefillos get answered first. It's an important lesson in life. So God, at those moments when I was having the most difficult time, I would expect to see your footsteps most present there. And yet I only see one set of footsteps. And all other times I see two sets of footsteps, but you left me alone at those times. Maybe that's exactly why I had such a difficult time. Because you were gone. Why was your hest upon him at my most difficult times? And the response from this Rabbanu Shalom to this man, I think we could all relate to this in hindsight, looking back at our lives at those most difficult times. Hindsight 2020 situation, says that Rabbanu Shalom got it all wrong, buddy. In fact, those were my footsteps, and I was carrying you the entire time. At times when you thought you were having it easy, you were, and I was walking next to you. But when I recognized that you were having such a difficult time, I mamash picked you up, and you weren't walking at all. Those sorts of footsteps, not the, right, in either version of the story, regardless of which set, the set of footsteps that we're walking, mamish, in the ways of the Rebbe Elul Shlomo is the most important thing to do in the life, and don't take it from me. My name is just on the top of the sheet, but in the middle of the sheet, actually above my name, a quote from the Salvation, the most basic principle of all in life, a foundation of all, for all of Torah ethics, is literally this idea of walking God's name. That's the Rav. I just put it in quotes at the top of the page. Look at source number 4, Sefer Ikarim. Who wrote the Sefer Ikarim? Anyone know? Or the Ikrim, yeah, what? Or Yosef Alba, I say it both ways because there's one way to say it and then there's one way people do say it. So just in case you hear another version, like it's the same thing. Sefer Ikarim would be the time of a whole list of all the most important things. Ikarim, the most important things. What is he says is the Ikar, or in English, the Ikur? Who's going to read? Come on, someone read for me, source number 4. What's the Ikur of life? Come on. Someone, please. Please, we called on you already. I just feel like there are a lot of people in the room. Someone read for me. Come on, it's not a big deal. Oh, come on. I don't want to start calling on people. Yeah, please, thank you so much. Oh! Nireh she'alicha b'darchei Hashem. It seems that walking in the ways of the Rebbe Elul Shlomo, in those footsteps, he ikur ha'avoda she'yavul ba'adam es Hashem. It's not just me, it's not just a salvation. Yosef Albo said the same thing. And if you look in source number 5, the Be'er Ma'am Chaim, what did he say? I'm not going to even try that name. Go on. Yeah, who wants to read for me? Come on, it's English now. Please, someone. Come on. The fundamental reason for the creation of man is that he is to make himself as much like his creator as he can. Walk in God's ways. And walk in God's ways, I'll be like God. So far, so good. Any questions? Yeah, I remember the beginning of creation, like you were there, right? I remember? Before creation even started, what had to happen in order for creation to start? What was like step one, a prerequisite? What was the prereq? Yeah? Not the course, but the creation. What was the I feel like I said this the last... I used that same line the last time I gave this year. It's a line that I use. If you've heard it before, fine. If not, then now you have. And I'm calling myself out on it. So that's wonderful. So I never can use it again. A prereq for creation was what? Come on. What needed to happen for creation to take place? You've heard of this idea. What? Okay, through the Torah that we created the world. Good. Okay, the Bon Shalom, right? Yeah, what we have? Zimzum. So nice. It's like like sesame. But what does tzimtzum actually mean? It's always great when I ask you what it means to use the exact same word in another form. If I didn't know you well enough, I wouldn't have done it to someone random. Don't worry, I won't do that to you if you answer a question. Wow. Make space. Oh, very good. He had to shrink himself. Kavayachol. He had to shrink himself in order to make room for what?
For the
oil. For the world. For the entire cosmos. For everything, anything other than God. God had to make space to allow this world to exist. Now, I'd like to suggest that the idea of God making space for this world to exist continues ad hayom hazeh. We know that already, because if God retook that space that the world is in, then guess where we would be? Nowhere. Okay, that's number one. But even beyond that, I'd like to suggest that on our day-to-day experiences in life, when we recognize that the world has brokenness in it, has things that are not perfect in it, has things that are not really like the Rabbanu Shalom, kevayacho, even though the Rabbanu Shalom allows everything to sustain itself, if there is imperfection in this world, that too comes from the Rabbanu Shalom. And what I'd like to discuss today is how we in our lives can follow in God's ways to fix that brokenness. Because ultimately, I firmly believe, I'm sure you've heard me say this before, but I firmly believe, and I hope you do too, that every single person in this room, every single person that's alive today, is here for a particular reason. Otherwise, me and you wouldn't need to be here. If we had the same mission in life, then one of us wouldn't need to be here. We were put in this world at a specific time, in a specific place, because we have a specific mission at that time and place. We have something to contribute to the world. You know why? Because the world is not perfect yet, and we become partners in that world experience and in perfecting that world through our mission here, through our tafkid, so to speak. We all have a tafkid in this world. You've heard that idea before, right? But I'd like to suggest also that this is an important lesson that we all really need to develop within ourselves, because I firmly also believe that the high levels of depression and the high levels of other things that are going on internally in our own minds and in our own hearts, while some of it is biological for sure, a lot of it has to do with the sense of I'm living in a world of billions of people, and why do I actually matter? Do I matter? That person seems to have everything figured out, and my life looks like it's literally put together the same way that we used to make the sukkah out of the fluff and the you know what I'm talking about? The fluff and the graham crackers. That's like a classic kid thing to make. If you hadn't made that yet, become a kid again next sukkahs and like try it. It's great. Or try it with your kid, your siblings or your nieces and nephews. It's a great activity. Just, yeah, don't expect it to be a lot, like up for too long. Helpful actually on Yom Tov and Shabbos, because they don't really stand. But my life feels like one of those things. I got like the little green sour sticks on the top, and like the fluff is just barely holding it together. I'm barely holding it together at times. If you haven't felt that way, please, I love your secret to life, because I don't know. There are just times where it just feels like I have zero control over it all. So how do we approach our lives, and how do we make meaning and purpose out of our lives? I think through Halachta B'Drachav, as we'll discuss in a few minutes. But I also think how we avoid the imposter syndrome, and also the sense that like I matter very little or I am insignificant in this world. I think we have to remind ourselves when we have those moments in our lives that if the Rabbono Shel Olam didn't think I deserved to be here, regardless of how terrible I've been, regardless of the mistakes I've made, if he didn't want me here, I wouldn't. And so perhaps it's dafka to work on this exact challenge, or perhaps it's dafka to work on this exact component of my life that feels like it's falling apart. That's the purpose that I'm here for. Perhaps. We don't really know. I once asked this question to Rav Schechter. I don't know if I told this. I think I told this. I once asked Rav Schechter when I was in high school, how do I know what my tafkid is? I was like obsessed with this concept of a tafkid. I felt like I needed to fulfill something much larger than myself. And guess what? That obsession has not gone away. I hope it doesn't go away for you either. That's what life is supposed to be all about. We need to find what that tafkid is. Don't let it cripple you. Like, don't be like, well, that's not my tafkid. That's beneath me. No. Fuck care. Be like, well, maybe this is my tafkid, so I better go run and do that. And maybe I'll run and do that too. Right? So I asked Rav Schechter, so how do I know what my tafkid is? I was like a high school kid. Imagine like Rav Schechter listening to that. Like, it's similar to the time when Rav Schechter was buying a Lulav and Esrog in the Heights, and I happened to have been right there, and like I don't know how old she was. Someone that was like attending the sale said, didn't know who he was apparently, and said, like she said to everybody, would you like me to check it for you? So he like smiled and he's like, no, I think I'm okay. Like I witnessed this experience. It's great. Like that's Rav Schechter at his finest, because like he's not going to make the person feel like an idiot. Like we all make mistakes in the life, and he just like smiled and he's like, you know, I think I'm okay. It's incredible. That's the godless of Rav Schechter. That's the godless of Moshe. I mean, ultimately, his ability to both be up here and treat everybody else like he's down here. So I asked Rav Schechter, and Rav Schechter smiled in the same form of smiling, looking at me as if like I'm coming to him for a bracha, and he's going to say a shahakol. And he says to me, he says, well, you have to just look at your kochot and your chesronot, and like from there you'll figure it out. And I was like, I'll work on that. Thank you. Right, but my chesronot and my kochot, why do I have to look at both? Why can't I just look at my kochot? It only took like 25 years later, I'm not that old, it took some years later for me to realize, wait a second, it's both my kochot and my chesronot that allows me to figure out the trajectory of my life. Because it's the things that I'm really good at that I have to continue really working on to make sure I'm better at, and the things that I'm really not good at that shows me exactly what I need to work on. Both of those work together. It's not just one or the other. You would think you'd only focus on one. The answer is you'd have to work on both. So let's go back to Halachta B'Drachah. We have a Gemara that I'm sure many of you have heard before. A Gemara in Sota, Daf Yudalet, Amud Aleph. And the Gemara basically says, how can you possibly walk in God's ways? It's impossible. After all, God is what? Is an Eish HaChla.
Who?
The Bona Shalom is an all-encompassing fire. We're in source number 6 on the bottom of page 1. Well, if he's an all-encompassing fire, you know what happens when you start getting close to an all-encompassing fire? You get burned. It's hot. Don't do that. Right? So how can I walk in God's ways? Ella, look at the bolded line, the end of line number 2 in source number 6. Rather, I have to walk in God's ways, his midos. And what does that mean? Mahu malbish harumim. Just as the Ribbono Shel Olam clothed those who needed to be clothed. Speaking about whom? Adam and Chava. So too we need to do the same. And next time you're donating a coat or shoes or any other form of clothing to a clothing drive, remember that you're not just being a nice person, but you're doing something that's godly. And the same thing with Bikur Cholim. When did Ribbono Shel Olam do Bikur Cholim? Who remembers? Avram Avinu, after the Milah, so too when we show up for Bikur Cholim, also the same, we're doing something godly. The same with Nicham Avelim, the same with Kvir Mesim. We're going to visit someone at a Shiva house, or we're going to help bury someone. Those are inherently godly actions. You know why? Because I've seen God do them, or at least I've heard about God doing them, so I have to do them the same way. That's what it means to walk in God's ways at a very basic level, according to this Gemara, is that I have to do the things that God does. Rav Shechter pointed out in the shiur that he gave about this 5 years ago. Not that I was there, but I heard it on Y'i Torah, so it says 5 years ago. And in the shiur he points out that people point out, I forget exactly who he said, but people point out that all of the experiences in Nach, in Tanakh, really, where we hear about the Ribbono Shel Olam and all these anthropomorphic ways, where we hear God was this or God was that, is not to actually say that he was this or he was that or he was walking or whatever, but rather to show us how we should live in our lives. Because if we're actually going to walk in God's ways, then all of the reasons that we hear about God walking or doing or feeling or this or that, which clearly is all not accurate, because God doesn't walk and God doesn't feel and God doesn't this and God doesn't that. God is, period, end of sentence. That's the only real accurate sentence you can say about God. So I should also do those things. So we learn from the Gemara that actually doing actions is going to bring me closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I have to walk in God's footsteps, and as he's doing actions in those footsteps, I also need to do them. The Gemara in Shabbos, in source number 7, says something totally different. The Gemara in Shabbos brings down another idea, and we'll see in the Sefer HaMitzvos in source number 8, the same idea as this source, just brought from the Sifrei. The Gemara in Shabbos uses a pasuk from last week's parasha, Zekeli Vanvehu. I was going to ask you what parasha was, but I didn't want to embarrass anyone. Zekeli Vanvehu comes up from what part of our tefillah? Az Yashir, very good. And what does it basically mean? This is my God, and I will glorify him, which essentially is often very much used to teach that we are supposed to do what? Heder mitzvah. The Mahadir Mitzvah, God commanded me to do something. I'm not going to bring this shlemazel thing that make me look like a shlemazel. I'm not going to walk into shul with a lulavanesu that's like falling apart. I'm going to buy a really nice lulavanesu, even if the person standing at the station asks me if she has to look at it. Yeah. And by the way, I'm all for people look. I need a lot of help when it comes to lulavanesu. So unlike Rav Shechter, I would have probably said yes. But Lulav Nesek is very important. That is another great example. But how many other mitzvahs do we do that are hidurim? We don't even realize it. But you know, like Kiddush, for example. You drink Kiddush out of a silver cup. When was the last time you drank anything out of silver? Right? And it was Meisim L'chol Yom when we got to like Achashverosh and the right? Like that they drank out of the gold and silver. Unfortunately, they were our gold and our silver. Kelim Shonim. Right? They use our Kelim from the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah? It was gold and silver. But when was the last time we used gold and silver? We get brought up with the mindset that we ought to use silver for a cup, or we ought to use a silver menorah, or this or that. We grow up with that in reality, but of course, like, there are so many other ways we could do it that are cheaper. And yet we do it at the Mahadran level. Why? Because God, you commanded me to do it. I'm not showing up with the nonsense. I'm showing up with the real thing. Where do I invest? Where to put your money where your mouth is, literally? I'm investing in these mitzvahs. Now, don't go to the extremes, right? Some people pay like $1,000 for a lulav nesrog. I promise you, you pay $100 for a lulav nesrog, give $900 to someone that can't afford, like, food, you're in much better shape, yeah? It's the reason why, by the way, when I put out in Mitzvah Hashem, when I get the Purim time, and I put out a Venmo account to be able to donate money for Matanas Lev Yonim, I always point out that Matanas Lev Yonim should equal the amount that you've invested in Mishloach Manos and your Seuda. And your Seuda. All the money you're investing in your Seuda for yourself, or Mishloach Manos, you're giving to people that you like, you know what? You should give all that also to matanas levyonim. So be careful about how much you spend on the other things, because it's going to be mechayiv you other places, right? But it's not a joke. Meaning there are people who really need money. So sometimes we get so caught up, like I got to make my mishloach manos with 3,000 different words in a poem that all rhyme with each other, and it's gewaldig. I'll put all the effort, but I'll give $2 to matanas levyonim. What a chutzpah! What a chutzpah! I should look really good. I should have a but the people that really need my money, they I can't. I'm going to print it on like really nice paper. I'm going to have like a really like a beautiful saran wrap. Not saran. What's the right cellophane? Yeah, I use the right word. Cellophane. I'm proud of myself. And ribbon. And it's like, and you can use that scissor thing on the ribbon. You know what I'm talking about? It scrunches up, and it's going to look really beautiful. But like, I'm not going to give anything to Matanas Levyonim. Impossible. I got to do that as well. Good. So look at source number 7. After talking about Zechiel Ivan Vehu in a way that we're not going to talk about today, I know they spend a lot of time on that. Abishol is a different perspective. What does Anveu mean? V'ani k'hu. I'm going to be like him. Zekelin, I want to be like him. In other words, people remember Michael Jordan? People are like, no. Yeah, people remember Michael Jordan. Thank you. Appreciate that. Michael Jordan, there was like a saying, like a kid would get on a TV show. I don't know. There was the thing called Air Jordans. They were sneakers. And the kid on the, people remember this? Yeah, Air Jordans. What? Oh, they still have Air Jordans. So they still have Air Jordans, but the commercial on the TV was that the kid got like was like tying in like a, in like a form of like the same Yichud, Kuchabrichu type of thing. It had like a make me like Mike. I want to be like Mike. Right? Like the shoes somehow should invest me with special powers so that I could be just as good at basketball as Michael Jordan. Somehow we skipped like the first name and we went straight to nickname, right? Not Michael, I don't want to be like Michael, or like Jordan, I want to be like Mike. Like we were very close to Michael Jordan. Anyway, so I want to be like Mike. And unfortunately, by the way, this is the Avodah Zarah of today. How many times do you hear teenagers or kids or even ourselves sometimes looking at other personalities in the world and be like, I want to be like that person. I want to be like that person. I want to act like that. I want to look like that. I want to be like that. Well, you know what's really nice? We have a higher standard. Hopefully you knew this already. We have a higher standard. And Abishol points out to us, Omer v'anveyu anihu, I want to be like the Ribono Shel Olam. Have a domelo, how I be like the Ribono Shel Olam? Make me like God. Make me not to be God. Paro made that mistake in our parashios, Machlokas Rambam and Ramban, about how he lost, whether he lost his free will or not. But the Rambam says the reason he lost his free will is not only because he was evil, but because he thought of himself like he was God. Not like God, he thought of himself as God. Well, when the second you start thinking of yourself as God, you know what God does? It takes away your free will, because free will only allows you to be a human being. You want to be a human being, you have free will to be able to make choices. But God doesn't need like a free will additional piece here. God doesn't need extra. God can do whatever he wants. So God says to Paro, you want to be like God? Well, then I will make all your decisions for you. Look over here. Abishol Omer Vandeyani Vavidomelo Mahu Chanun Rachum Avata Haya Chanun Rachum. Where do those words come from? Chanun Rachum. Where are those words from? Baba? That you give me the Sarachamim, right? That I want to be like a merciful and gracious. Look in source number 11. Source number 11 goes from page 2 on to page 3. And it basically is a very important fact that you need to know. When you walk into Slichos on the first night of Slichos, right? I'm sure you've been to a Slichos on the first night of Slichos with a minyan. I hope that you have. If you haven't, next year I highly recommend. I think they usually send a bus or whatever. Go up to the Heights. Penner leads the Slichos. Rabbi Penner is incredible in general in a lot of things. His davening, his tefillah is... Oof. Mamish, like if you didn't have any kavanah, right, Penner makes up for it type of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like he fills in the kavanah for you. Hopefully he doesn't get a hold of this record. So hopefully he won't. Yeah, but anyway. So what happens? So you walk in there and you know what's really odd? One person in the room is wearing a talis, but not any other man. Like one man in the center of the room is wearing a talis. He's the one leading but it's nighttime. In fact, it's like 12:45 a.m. It's not even nighttime. It's like chatzos, right? And he's put a talis on, but no of the other men are wearing talis. You know why? Because he don't wear talis at night. So why is he wearing a talis at night? Anyone know why? Why did he wear a talis at night? Because the Ribono Shel Olam himself wore a talis kiveyachol to show Moshe Rabbeinu these yikim amidos. What do we say that yikim amidos are rachamim for? Because we're begging for forgiveness. The Gemara points out to us, and the Gaonim in this source point out that what? That had Ribono Shel Olam not told us how we should go about doing the yikim amidos are rachamim, it wouldn't possibly work. God, he had to show it to us. So if you look inside in source number 11,
And the Lord passed before him. I love that, the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed. That's a pasuk in Shmos. Rabbi Yochanan said, were a verse not written, it would be impossible to say it. So what happened? So the Rebbe Shlom showed up with a talis. So we showed up with a talis, and he said the Yigimus Achamim, and that's it. And the Rebbe Shlom said, he said to them, right, three lines on the bottom, any time that Israel sins, let them perform before me this procedure, and I shall forgive them. But you know what the problem is? How many times have we said Yigimus Achamim? We said Hashem, Hashem, Terachim, Echanim, with mamish tears in our eyes. We screamed at the top of our lungs. And you know what? It doesn't feel like things got better. Doesn't feel like things got better. We used the magic sauce and it didn't work. We said the right words. We did the right thing. What's the chat? This is incredible. This changed. When I heard this the first time, it changed every other time that I've said Yigimus Achamim. You know why? Because it doesn't only exist around the Yom Nerim. Look inside. This is incredible. Ready for this? Who wants to read the bolded part on the top of page 3? Really loud. Come on. Someone really, really, really loud. Come on. Someone hasn't read yet before? Someone hasn't read yet before? Come on. Come on. A volunteer. I don't want to voluntold anyone. Yeah, anyone? Voluntold? Yeah. Oh, please. Thank you so much. Really loud. Yeah. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam wasn't saying, just go and do the exact same thing I did. He was saying, go and be like me. I'm going to tell you 13 Midas HaRachamim. Go be like me. Do these Midas HaRachamim. Live your life by these Midas HaRachamim. Rachmanus. I should have Rachmanus for other people. Chanun v'rachum erech apayim rav chesed v'emes. I have to act like the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, not to be God, but to be godly. That's when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam begins to allow us to get past our sins. Not just the talis. The talis was just a procedural experience. We need to act in the ways of these Yibum Midas HaRachamim. Now you might say the first two words are Hashem. Hashem, how do I do that? So I'd like to suggest that I haven't seen it. Hashem, Hashem, what is Hashem, Hashem? This part I've seen inside. Why do we say Hashem twice? Hashem before the chait and Hashem after the chait. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam is there for us, and it's important that we recognize this at every point in our life. You should never have the cognitive dissonance to be able to say to yourself, well, last night I was acting this way. How could I show up to Shacharis tomorrow morning? Impossible. Or better yet, 2 minutes ago I said this to my mother. Now I'm going to put on a face and go do chesed. And the answer is we should do the best that we can to avoid those moments, but avoid any sins really. But Hashem, Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants us after the chait the same way He wants us before the chait. In fact, He wants us more. He wants us to turn around our lives more. He wants us to come back to Him more. So sometimes the cognitive dissonance gets in our mind and says, how could I act like this? How could I dress like this? How could I say I'm from like this and I do that? Well, it's good. You should work on that area, but you shouldn't avoid all the other parts of your life. You shouldn't stop getting kashrus because you're having trouble with Shabbos, etc., etc. That's where I see the Hashem Hashem. But the other piece of Hashem Hashem is also that just as the Rebbeinu Shel Olam forgives us before, after the chait, the same way He does before the chait, so too when your friends approach you. This is not just mercy. This is being willing to forgive. A friend hurt you, and you're like, well, wait a second. This is really bad. You really hurt me. So you could say that. Don't let it bottle up. Because when you bottle things up, you know what ends up happening, right? It comes up at some point. At some point. And usually it's not the right person. Usually it's someone like some innocent bystander who gets all the rage and anger that was like being bottled up. Not good to bottle your feelings up you should go and talk to this person. Be like, this really hurt me. And you know why it hurt me? For these reasons. But not in an attacking way, but to say to them, but I'm going to forgive you anyway. I'm going to forgive you as long as I know that you're going to be there for me in the future. You embarrassed me really badly in front of a crowd just now. And I really wish you hadn't done it. But you know what? I'm going to forgive you anyway because I really value our relationship. Imagine every time you had a fight with someone, that's the way the conversation went. You'd be in a much better state, right? I think. Hashem, Hashem. Same thing, saying, you know what the Gemara promises us? That if you're going to act that way, and you're going to forgive people that way, you know who also is going to start forgiving you that way? The man upstairs as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. Not to tell you that he's a man, that's a saying. Fine. Just to clarify.
a piece from the Rambam. We don't have time to go through this in depth, but I'm happy to recommend that you do it. In source number 8, the Rambam quotes this as a mitzvah. V'alachta b'drachav is a mitzvah. Don't worry, we still have plenty of time. Not for this piece. The Rambam has is v'alachta b'drachav as a mitzvah, the 8th mitzvah of his mitzvahs. And unlike all the Sefer HaChinuch, where the Sefer HaChinuch lists the mitzvahs based on when they arrive in the Torah, the Rambam puts the mitzvahs in order seemingly of importance. So number 8 is pretty high up there, right? 8 of all the positive mitzvahs. That's a pretty high number. Anyway, he puts this up there in the mitzvahs. The problem is the Ramban points this out, but others as well also point this out. In fact, Rav Abram ben HaRambam, the Rambam's son, points that as well, which is that the Rambam makes rules for how he counts the mitzvahs, and on a very basic level, the Rambam doesn't count general rules. Right, so if the Torah tells us do 613 different mitzvahs, each of those 613 become a mitzvah, but you know what doesn't become a mitzvah? When the Torah tells you, you should do all the 613 mitzvahs, like in a meta form. Go do the mitzvahs, right? Shmor has the mitzvahs. Every time it says that, it doesn't become a new mitzvah to also do the mitzvahs. It would be like ridiculous at a certain point, right? Go do the mitzvahs, that's a mitzvah, to go do the mitzvahs, to do the mitzvah. Like, it's ridiculous, yeah? So we don't count those as mitzvahs. Says Rambam and Rambam and others, Rambam, why are you counting V'alachta b'drachav? V'alachta b'drachav just means go do other mitzvahs. So why are you counting it? So the way that basically Rav Nachum Mendel of Schneerson points out one way of understanding this, and I want to take a slightly different way, which is essentially the same idea, but the idea is like this. And when we want to become like something, right, look, I'm saying that's the Rebbe, just to clarify, if you didn't know Rav Nachum Mendel of Schneerson, it's the Rebbe that's in the Likutei Sichos, that's source number 10. I only brought snippets, I'm happy to send you the full link. The Rambam is saying to us in his mitzvah, there are two parts of the mitzvah. Because the Rambam lists initially that you should do the midos part from the sifrei, and then also tells you, and you should also do the pa'ulos, you should also do the actions. So which one is it? Which is the mitzvah? In doing that, he actually clarifies for us that this is not actually a general mitzvah, but there are specific actions that one needs to do in order to get to the midos. And ultimately, the goal is not the mitzvah, or doing the mitzvahs itself, but rather to get to the midos. In other words, I want to become more godly. How do I become more godly? By doing some mitzvos. But the real mitzvah there of Alach B'Jachav is becoming godly. And you know how I become godly? Well, if I mimic something long enough, then you know what? I start becoming. Mimic to become is a real thing. It's a real danger, by the way. When we mimic society around us, we start becoming like society around us. But the benefit is that when we pick the right thing to mimic, when we try and mimic the Rabbonu Shel Olam, then we start becoming more and more godly. Not like God, not God, but godly. That we become similar to God in his actions and his midos. And our ultimate version of that, as we saw in the next source, in source number 11, which we saw already, is to live a life of the Yigimu Midas Harachem, not just a life that screams Yigimu Midas Harachem. Okay? Look at source number 12 and 13. I'm bringing you Mikoros from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik talks about the imitatio dei, this idea of imitating God or walking in God's ways, as being highly significant. In fact, if you look in source number 13, the Rav points out that part of the destiny, I'm sorry, I just used the wrong word, part of our goal in life is to turn from a life of fate into a life of destiny. Fate is essentially, if I could give you like an image to imagine fate, a life of fate is me with lots of strings going up to a puppeteer, living life in some way like Paro had to live at the end of his life without any sort of free will, that the world just goes on and I'm acted upon as opposed to being an actor. Yeah, that's an important line that he actually has in Kol Yudo Fake. And that life is intended to do what? Our life is not to just live a life of being acted upon, but to become an actor. To turn the life of fate into a life of destiny. And if you look in the... first of all, there's a great... You read the whole story. I can't read it all right now. I'm really holding myself right back right now because it's a beautiful mikar. In fact, the whole Kol Yudo Fake, actually everything the Rav writes, you should read. But highly recommend the Kol Yudo Fake. Definitely recommend it. According to Judaism, man's, and we'll read man here as human, because I think that's what he was talking about. Mission in this world is to turn fate into destiny, an existence that is passive and influenced, into an existence, we're in source number 13, in the bold part, an existence that is passive and influenced, into an existence that is active and influential. What a lie. An existence of compulsion, perplexity, and speechlessness, into an existence full of will, vision, and initiative.
The blessing of the Holy One to His creation fully defines man's role: be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it.
The first commandment is to be fruitful and multiply, have children. Remember, the Ribbono Shel Olam created humankind. But we have the capacity to walk in literally God's ways in a miraculous way to create children. It's incredible. We're literally imitating God. Bringing children into this world is an incredible thing. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Mamash, it's miracles of miracles. It's miraculous. It's us literally emulating the Ribbono Shel Olam, though. To bring more of the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence into this world. Lest you think that being creative and the creativeness of the Ribbono Shel Olam to create the world is not part of this mitzvah, the Rav clearly points out to you here, but in other places as well. I've spoken about it on Shabbos morning. You should come for Shabbos. But on Shabbos morning I spoke from the drushes about what? That the Ribbono Shel Olam literally left this world as we started talking about in a broken form, in a form that needs correction, in a form that needs our involvement, so we can become partners in the story of creation. Think about that. We are partners in creating this world because it's ongoing, a creation of this world. We're not creating water, and we're not creating the stars, and we're not creating the trees. But we're repairing the brokenness in this world, and Hasidim and Kabbalah would tell you the exact same concept in different words. There's a Shavira in this world. There are Nitzosos of Kedusha that are covered by Klipos. And it's our obligation, literally our obligation in this world, to fix those things. Now you might say, well, why didn't God just create the world perfect? On one level, for this. On another level, He did. We messed that one up. Yeah, remember? We messed that one up pretty big. Yeah? Everything in the Gan you should eat from. Not the Etzadas Tovarah. Now, we ate from the Etzadas Tovarah, and now things get a little more complex. In fact, the Zohar and then the Tzitzkos HaTzadik points out that the Tovarah, this is really from the Zohar itself, what does it mean, Etzadas Tovarah? Is that every part of Tov is intertwined with Ra, and every part of Ra is intertwined with Tov. In other words, it's very hard and complex for us to realize in this world what is right from wrong, what is wrong from right. It's very difficult. There are aspects of good and bad, and good, bad and good, and it's not so easy. Nothing's so black and white. Very rarely is things so superbly black and white. But that's the world that we live in. And it's in our job to bring the light back into the clarity, the light of the Ribbono Shel Olam, those Nitzotzot of Kedusha, to bring that back into this world, to bring the Ribbono Shel Olam's presence back in this world, so that that symptom that initially happened can ultimately lead to a world that refilled with the Ribbono Shel Olam. How much time are we in? What time are we going? 3:30? Is that like a hard stop? That's a hard stop? I do want to answer questions. I can't right now. I'm sorry. I'm holding myself. I really do want to. I do want to. The Nesim Shalom very quickly in this week's parasha points out. If you look in source number 14, you should look at the whole piece. I have a recording that I sent out into the Nesim Shalom WhatsApp group. Highly recommended because it's not my Torah. It's the Nesim Shalom Torah. So I just be the one. I'm just the shliach to say it. Where he points out he doesn't understand how when Moshe Rabbeinu asked to see God's presence in this world, how he basically got a no, but at Matan Torah, which is this week's parsha, all of Klal Yisrael was able to see the Ribbono Shel Olam's kavod, even though literally he said Moshe asked exactly for that and got a no. Why? Because lo yireni ha'adam v'chai, a person can't see that. And in the context of talking about all this, says the Nesiv HaShalom, that ultimately in every single one of our lives we have the tachlis of our lives, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote to Latei Tamid Liyuhudi Madrega Zo Shalar Enu Hashem Es Kivodo Ves Gadlov Shehi Tachlis HaKol. The purpose is to be able to see the Ribbono Shel Olam in our lives. We have to just open up our eyes to see Him. But why are we seeing Him? We want to see Him so that we can do what? Ultimately, it all comes down to we want to see His ways, we want to see His world, we want to see His worldview, so we can become more like Him. Ultimately, that is our greatest challenge in this world, is to create a connection between what and what? Between being a Basar Vadam and the Elokus. somehow we have that connection, and Chassidus would tell you it's because internally you already have a piece of that. You already have a piece of that. You know what it is? You're chelik elokam imah. You have a piece of the Ribono Shel Olam somewhere, somehow embedded into who you are. And if you do, then it's very easy. You just need to open up the right passageways to be able to connect to the Ribono Shel Olam. I just want to end off with the following two things.
Next two sources.
If you look in source number 16, this is the guide to the perplexed, and sometimes the Rambam makes you more perplexed. He actually writes that in his Hakdama, that he writes it in a perplexing way so that people don't just figure all this out on their own. They have to actually work at it. So sometimes you can be more perplexed from the guide to the perplexed. It's guide to become perplexed sometimes. But, and that's not me making fun of it. That's actually just what he says is going to happen sometimes. But I just want to point out from both the Rambam as well as the Tomer Devorah. I hope you've heard of the Tomer Devorah, which is a sefer that does what? Goes through all the Yigimel Midas HaRachamim in a way that we should what? We should act that way, literally. So look into the sources 6 and 16 and 17 very quickly. The chief aim of man. This is the Rambam. Yitachos ma'alas ha'adam hadmos bo yisbarach kefiya yecholas. That we should become more like the Ribono Shel Olam. Wait, I thought you were talking about walking in God's ways. Guess what? That's exactly what I'm talking about the whole time. To mimic the Ribono Shel Olam, to walk in God's ways, is ultimately to become like Him and to become close to Him. That's the Rambam talking. But if you didn't want it from the Rambam, you want to hear it from the Talmud Devorah, you can hear the exact same thing. It is fitting for a person to resemble his Creator. This is the very beginning. The first line of his entire Sefer of Talmud Devorah is exactly that. It's fitting for a person to resemble the Creator, and then he will be configured in the secret of the highest form, both in image and likeness. You can read more there. How does he explain to do it? Through the Yigimel Misarachim. But I want to basically say, and it's 3:30, on the nose right now, is essentially the following. No sheets in front of me. There are sheets, but I'm not reading from them. Essentially the following. V'alachta b'drachav needs to be our answer when someone asks you what's the most important thing in this rule. That we should walk in God's ways, because it allows our lives to have meaning and purpose. And in all matters, on the biggest things and the smallest things, we should do it. On our smidos, that we should become more like Him in our interpersonal relationships. Notice how every single one of those mitzvos that come up in the Gemara that we saw in the beginning, we're all ben adam le chaveiro, malbish arumim, biker cholim. Our interpersonal experiences are supposed to walk directly in the way that Ribono Shel Olam treats each and every one of us. Because there is no machom le machom. The Ribono Shel Olam treats every single one of us with so much rachmanus. The fact that we're all sitting here right now and we're all okay, even though all the things that we've done in our lives, that's rachmanus right there. We need to start walking in those ways and learn how to be like the Ribono Shel Olam. Make me like the Ribono Shel Olam is really the way we should have the kavanah on every single day, the same way the kid had the kavanah putting on the Air Jordans. But higher than that, hopefully. Yeah. But the second piece of this all is also not to limit our understanding of this idea to the small, but to the grandiose as well. The Ribono Shel Olam created the whole world and did so in a way that left room for your influence, your impact, whether it's through your tefillah, through your avodas Hashem, through your Torah, through coming up with chasadim to be able to go and help other people. Your influence on this world, and the more you become like the Ribono Shel Olam, this world will create more fixedness in this world for a world that was literally intentionally left broken. So that we can be mitakein olam. People say tikkun olam. It's a very hot word these days. It was actually a hot word for a long time. Not in the way that it's meant, though. Right? We've been saying it in Aleinu for quite some time. In fact, we don't just stop with tikkun olam, but we say latakein olam be malchut shakai. That we have to actually repair the world in a way that we bring the Ribono Shel Olam into it as the kingship of this world. The way that we do that is if we start acting more godly, make a Kiddush Hashem in the world, fix problems in the world, the problems that were left for us to fix. In fact, that's where our Tachkidim all come from. Like I started out in the beginning, that I believe every single one of us is here for a particular purpose. We just have to figure what it is with our Kochos and our Chesmonos. In both ways, hopefully, we walk in their Ribono Shel Olam's ways. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you for joining today.